Opportunities to compromise our faith are all around us. Pastor Greg Laurie says it's our choice how we respond.
Every Christian is going to have to make their stand. In some way, shape, or form, you're going to be asked to bow before some God, before some principle, before some idea, and do what everyone else does, because this is what we're all doing now. And the question is going to be, are you going to stand up for your faith, or are you going to cave in?
Glad you're joining us for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, whose story is told in the new documentary, Lost Boy. If we could listen in on a hidden microphone to the civil courts of our land, we'd hear people standing up for themselves. Now, if there was a spiritual court where people went to stand up for God, to stand up for faith, it's quite likely we'd only hear crickets. Today, Pastor Greg shows us three Hebrew teens who stood up for God even when it meant certain death.
Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Israelites, and they had been taken captive by Babylon. So now in Babylon, in the captivity there, the powerful King Nebuchadnezzar wants some of Israel's brightest and best young men. In effect, he wants them to abandon their faith and embrace the pagan Babylonian culture and religion. It was the intention of Nebuchadnezzar to erase every vestige of identification between these boys and their God and their people. Let's see how successful he was. Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it with his armies. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah. When Nebuchadnezzar returned to Babylon, he took with him some of the sacred objects from the temple of God and placed them in the treasure house of his God in the land of Babylonia. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, who was in charge of the palace officials, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. "Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men," he said. "Make sure they are well-learned and versed in every branch of learning and are gifted with knowledge and good sense and have the poise needed to serve in the royal palace. Teach these young men the language and literature of the Babylonians." The king assigned them a daily ration of the best food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for a three-year period, and then some of them would be made as advisors in the royal court. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief official renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind to not defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king, and he asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead. We'll stop there. And so here was the greatest food literally on the face of the earth, and yet Daniel decides this is a time to stand on principle. So Daniel struck a deal with the guy who was in charge of the food. He's identified as the chief official in Daniel 1:9. So he says, "Look, I'll tell you what. I don't feel right about eating of this food at the king's table, nor do my buddies Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the guys you gave pagan names to. Okay, we don't want to eat this food. So we'll make you a deal. We'll eat just vegetables and we'll drink water for the next 10 days or so. You guys eat from the king's table and we'll just see how it turns out at the end." And the man who was in charge said to him, "Now look, okay, I'm going to go along with this because I like you guys. There's something special about you and I admire your courage and conviction. But I hope you're looking okay at the end of 10 days, because if you're looking sickly or malnourished, I'm going to lose my head over this." Daniel says, "Don't panic. It's organic. You'll be all right. We're going to get through this, okay? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel made this stand. And of course, after they came to the 10-day fast, they were healthier looking than everybody else. And the Lord gave them even more wisdom and more insights. And they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar himself. And he was very impressed with these four young men and how God had blessed them. And Daniel especially had this ability to interpret dreams. Well, it's going to come in handy because one night Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He gets up the next morning. He calls in all of his advisors. He had astrologers and soothsayers on staff, you know, and they were the ones that were supposed to get the message from the spiritual world. And he says, all right, I had this dream. You guys, tell me what it means. Well, all right, king, what was the dream? He says, I know what you're doing. You're going to just make up something. If you really have a hotline to heaven, or if you really know something in the realm of the spirit, why don't you tell me the dream and the interpretation? They said, hey, man, if we walked with the gods, we couldn't do this. He says, okay, you're all a bunch of phonies, and you're all going to be put to death. So he gave a decree that all of his advisors would be put to death, and this included Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the decree is going out, and Daniel says, what's going on? Oh, they're going to kill all of the advisors. Why? Oh, because the king had a dream, and no one could interpret it or even tell him what the dream was. Daniel says, oh, that's no problem. Take me to the king. I can interpret the dream. The Lord gives this ability. So he goes into the presence of the king and says, okay, here's what you dreamt. You saw this giant image. Am I right? Head of gold, breast and arms of silver. Then he went on to describe the various aspects. Belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of clay, and so forth. And he basically was telling Nebuchadnezzar that this was sort of a picture of the end of the kingdoms of the world. Babylon was the head of gold. The breast and arms of silver would be the Medo-Persian Empire that would overthrow Babylon. And he took it right up to ancient Rome, the revival of Rome, the return of Christ in effect. Unbelievable. Nebuchadnezzar was blown away. He says to Daniel in chapter 2, verse 47, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you've been able to reveal this secret. I mean, Daniel, that's amazing. And you would have thought right there in the spot, Nebuchadnezzar would have believed in the Lord, not on your life. For as chapter 3 opens, we find the king has a statue erected. It's 90 feet tall, and it's covered in solid gold. Presumably, it's the image of the king. I mean, in the dream, the head was gold, but in real life, Nebuchadnezzar made the whole image gold. And then he took it a step further and said, everybody is commanded in Babylon to bow down before this image. And if you don't, you'll be put to death. It was the number one show in Babylon. In fact, it was the only show in Babylon. It was called Babylonian Idol. You would sing and there were these judges. No, that's a wrong show. No, but it involved music. The band would crank up the Babylonian Idol theme song and you were supposed to bow before the image. And if you didn't bow, you would burn, literally. You would be thrown into a furnace of fire. So the band cranks up the idol theme song. Everybody bows down before the image. And like three defiant sore thumbs stand Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. In response to Pastor Greg's book, Lost Boy, so many have contacted us with their own lost boy or girl stories.
Dear Pastor Greg, I came from a broken background where I was abused and neglected. My mother did not stop her longtime live-in boyfriend from sexually assaulting me and physically abusing me. Moreover, when I went to live with my aunt and uncle in another state, I was neglected. When I tried to seek counseling in middle and high school, my aunt and uncle accused me of being ungrateful and selfish. Most of the time, my aunt and uncle never spoke to me, and my cousins hated me. I had no outlet, so I had thoughts of suicide. As I got into college, I found that my emptiness was eating me away, and I did not want to live the life that I was living. Although I was going to church for a while, I never asked Christ into my heart, nor had I heard the gospel before. My church invited me to the Harvest Crusade in San Jose in 2006. There, I made a commitment to Christ, and then God's plans began to unfold in my life. I started reading the New Believer's Bible on a daily basis. Now, my life has more purpose and meaning. Although my family disapproves of my newfound faith, I know that my heavenly family approves. I realized that God can take a broken heart such as mine and turn it into a vessel for His glory. These last 2.5 years, I have found more joy than I ever had in the last 20 years. With God, I have peace, meaning, purpose, and future in life and death.
Share your lost boy or girl story with us, would you? Write a New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click on Share Your Story. As Pastor Greg continues his message now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had just refused to bow before the graven image, in effect, disobeying the king's decree. Well, here's Pastor Greg to continue.
So, the king's counselors rat out the three Hebrew holy boys. Say, hey, king, you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yes, I do. Good men, I like them. Well, they're not so good. They're not bowing before your image. And they're not getting in line with all the rest of us. The irony is, because Daniel interpreted the prayer of Nebuchadnezzar, the lives of all these counselors were saved. And ironically, they betray Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were probably jealous of their insights and convictions. And so the king finds out about it, and he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into his presence. He wants to have words with them. And let's read about it. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar says to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you refuse to serve my gods or bow before the gold statue I've set up? I'm going to give you one more chance. If you bow down and worship that statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments, all will be well. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And now in a direct challenge to the Lord, what God will be able to rescue you from my power then? Ironic, because just a little bit earlier, Nebuchadnezzar had called the God of Daniel the God of kings. And now he says, what God to get you out of this mess? Ah, you may have a God that can tell dreams and interpret them, but this is a big thing. Your God won't get you out of this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He'll rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. I love these guys. It's not going to happen. Hey, you know what? If God spares us, great. If we die in that flaming furnace, yeah, you know, we don't want to die that way, but look at bottom line, we're not going to worship your God. We're not going to bow before that image. Listen, every Christian is going to have to make their stand sooner or later. In some way, shape, or form, you're going to be asked to bow before some God, before some principle, before some idea. You're going to be asked to keep your convictions to yourself and to get into line and do what everyone else does, because this is what we're all doing now. And the question is going to be, are you going to stand up for your faith, or are you going to cave in? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to make their stand, despite the fact that pretty much everybody else was bowing. Well, now, Nebuchadnezzar is just flat out ticked off. He flies into a rage. Nobody defies me. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his face became distorted with rage. He commanded the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he ordered some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up. They threw them into the furnace fully clothed, and because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell down into the roaring flames. But suddenly, as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, they said, we did, your majesty. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire. They aren't hurt by the flames, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Oh, this is a great story, isn't it? I love it. Staying cool when things get hot. You might wonder if you could make the stand of a Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Again, you will determine that by decisions you are making today. You may never face a test of this caliber, but tests will come. Temptations will come. You will be placed in the hot waters of temptation. But the key to their courage and calmness in the fire was their companion. Nebuchadnezzar said it best, the fourth looks like the Son of God. I don't know that Nebuchadnezzar necessarily realized this was Jesus Christ. I don't know what he thought. All he knew is he threw three guys in the flaming furnace and they're walking around like it's a Sunday stroll in the park. And there's another guy walking with him, and all he knew was he didn't want to mess with them anymore. And he had great respect, not necessarily belief at that point, but yet a respect for the God that they represented. But there was the Lord walking around with them in the midst of their fire. Are you in a fiery trial right now? Are you in the hot waters of temptation? Know this, you're not alone in life. Jesus is there with you each step of the way. God says in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Jesus said, lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. And then again, Jesus said in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you or forsake you. It's all because they made stands earlier in life. And I'm going to ask you today to make a stand. I'm going to ask you to prayerfully ask God to show you any area of your life that could potentially be a compromise. That might be a small thing. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people might be doing it, even people that say they are Christians. But deep down inside, you have this conviction, this sense that it's not right. I'm asking you to make a stand in that area, because if you don't make a stand in the little things, you're never going to make a stand in the big things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had eaten of the food of the king's table and made that compromise. Do you think they would have had the courage and the chutzpah to make this kind of a stand later in life? I suggest to you, the stand we make today will determine the stand we will make tomorrow. So make the right choices. But the most important choice of all is to choose Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And I ask you in closing, have you done that? Do you have complete certainty right now that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? You see, the reason that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had such confidence is they recognized, okay, if we die, we will go into the presence of God. If we live, then we'll go on to serve the Lord. But either way, it's a win-win situation. See, that's how it is for the Christian. Win-win. As Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That doesn't mean that we have a death wish. That doesn't mean we want death to come soon. It simply means when it comes, and it will inevitably, we're ready for it. We're ready because we're going to pass on from this life to meet the Lord. But until that time, we want this life on earth to matter. Only the person who has said to live is Christ can say to die is gain. But if you don't have Christ in your life, death is the most terrifying thing of all. It's the fear of the unknown, the fear of judgment. But you don't have to have that fear, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross, and all of the sin of the world, including yours and mine, were placed upon him, and he bore it in our place, and then he rose again from the dead. And if we'll turn from that sin and put our faith in him, we can be forgiven and have a second chance in life. And have the hole in our life filled. And have our guilt removed. And know that when we die, we will go to heaven. If you don't have that hope, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get right with God as we close now in prayer. Let's all bow our heads for a prayer, if you would. Everyone praying. Father, I ask now that you will speak to every person listening to this message. And I ask that you will help them to see their need for you. And help them, Lord, to come to you and receive your forgiveness. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important word of prayer for those who need to make a change today in their relationship with the Lord. And if you're in that camp, Pastor Greg would like to help you do that in just a moment. So please keep listening. A question, have you ever bumped into someone you went to school with, maybe many years ago? Well, if you had happened to go to school with a young man named Greg Laurie, you'd be surprised, amazed at what he's like today. The man we know as Pastor Greg lived the kind of childhood none of us would have guessed, and one we wouldn't wish on anyone. His mom loved to party. She loved to drink. She loved to date new guys. She loved to marry new guys. But rarely did she stay home to be a mom to Greg. He describes the loneliness he felt in a new documentary film called Lost Boy.
When I think of lonely times in my life as a kid, part of it was when I lived with my mom and she wouldn't come home at night. You know, when you're like 6 years old or you're 7 years old, that's kind of scary. And then when she'd come home, I'd be asleep and all of a sudden I'd hear the door open. I'd be happy she was home. But then, you know, little bit of talking, the tinkling of glasses, that means she's drinking, and then the arguing, then the screaming, then the crashing, then things flying against walls and fights. That was terrifying to me, and I hated it, and I felt lonely, and I felt like I didn't have anyone to help me through all of that.
That was the daily reality Greg faced as a little boy. He loved his mom, but he never really felt that love in return. When he wasn't left alone, he was sent off to live with relatives or sent to military school. It's a heartbreaking story, but one that shows how the grace of God can step into a story like that and rewrite it, redeem it. And that story has been captured in the new documentary film called Lost Boy. It's available right now on DVD. You can see a trailer at our website. Go to harvest.org and click on the Lost Boy banner. So can we send this DVD your way? If you'll contact us today with a donation of any amount, here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to give you your choice of this new DVD or Pastor Greg's new book. They're both called Lost Boy, so let us know specifically which one you're requesting, all right? You can call us at 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300, or write a New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. And if you'd like a copy of the message Pastor Greg brought us today, just mention the title, Staying Cool When Things Get Hot. We'll be glad to give you all the ordering information. And then, Pastor Greg, if there's somebody listening to us right now who knows that they need to make a change in their relationship with the Lord, what's their next step?
I would say the next step is that you have to recognize you're a sinner and be sorry for your sin and ask God to forgive you. And the way that we do that is through prayer. That's how we communicate with God. So I would like to lead those people listening, you that are listening, that do not yet know Jesus Christ, in a word of prayer. If you want Christ to come into your heart, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that when you die you will go to heaven, pray this prayer with me right now. God, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for what I've done, and I turn from my sin now and ask for you to forgive me. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to shed his blood for me. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. Be my God and be my friend. I want to follow you from this day forward, so fill me with your Spirit and help me to be your disciple. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I am now yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you have just prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg and made a commitment to the Lord, we'd like to send you our New Believer's Growth Packet, which contains some materials to help you get started in your new life in Christ. So if you'll contact us and ask for the New Believer's Growth Packet, we'll be happy to send it right out to you free of charge. Our mailing address is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or you can call us with your request at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And you'll find us online at harvest.org. There you can get all the details about the Southern California Harvest Crusades coming August 15th through the 17th. That's at harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg shows us that no one is beyond the Lord's reach, no matter how far away from God they seem to be right now. Good encouragement coming next time on A New Beginning.
It's a new beginning.